Thank you so much for inviting me to come and speak here this morning. I count it a real privilege and an honour, and especially a blessing of breaking the bread and then sort of ministering afterwards. It's a real joy. It reminds me when I got married. I actually got married in Carisbrook Priory in 2009, and Stella and me, we had Holy Communion in our wedding service, and it was very precious. If you'd like to turn to your Bibles, Malachi chapter 2, beginning at verse 17, then through to chapter 3, and then straight on to verse 5. And immediately after that, we're going to read Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask, by saying all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them, or where is the God of justice? See, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as of the days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. And then at chapter 4 of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them, but for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of their children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to your word now, open our hearts, open our minds, just help your servant just communicate your word clearly and effectively deal with any inadequacy, not adding anything or taking anything away, that Christ will be glorified, that your Holy Spirit would just reveal to us your word for us today. Your word, a living word. Your word, the sword of the Holy Spirit. Your word, which is sharper, powerful than a two-edged sword. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's certainly a passage, Malachi, and what I was asked to do this passage, I immediately remembered when I was a young man, I used to visit a lady in her 90s, and I suppose you could say that she really was one of the people that helped shape my life when I came to a personal faith in Jesus. And before I left, she was dim her eyes, and she'd always say, well, get the Bible out and read me a portion of scripture. And she'd quote that verse from Malachi, those that fear the Lord. In the King James, always the King James, she had, those that feared the Lord often spoke one another. And she always quoted me the verse from Luke, and it was a good word for me, save me from backsliding for the years. No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. I was doing some ministry on the mainland in the summer, and it was actually in Yeovil, in a church at Yeovil. And there was a minister there, and the minister said to me, well, I like it how you used to minister when you had 3 points. And I felt with this passage, this is, although it's in two sections, this is how I was going to do it this morning. And the first part, you have wearied the Lord. And for the second part, for he will be like a refiner's fire. And for the third point, Malachi 4, verse 2, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you'll go out and leap like calves released from the stall. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or where is the God of justice? And, you know, sometimes we're like that with God in prayer. And sometimes by our attitudes and what we're feeling inside. And we say like it is here. Where is the God of justice and all the things that are happening? Why is this happening? And these people, the children of Israel, you know, that they built the temple. Was everything going to go really well? Why were the nations around them prospering? You know, what was going to happen? Where was God going to lead them? And, you know, we're living in a day and an age today where, you know, evil is spoken of as good. And good, sadly, is spoken of as evil. You know, it's kind of reversed. And sadly, you know, a lot of the Christian values are just, are on the margins. Even in a, if we can say what was a Christian country when we had an empire and the sun always set on every part of the empire, and yet some people could be feeling this. You who wearied the Lord with your words. Makes me think of the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Just thanking God he was, you know, in his prayers. So, well, how good I am, I tithe, I fast. And the publican said, have mercy on me, God, a sinner. I want to really make this as practical this morning for all of us. And I felt really challenged, you know, not to minister on what I've really sort of experienced in my life. And, you know, we're on the season of Advent, a time of preparation. The messenger, John the Baptist, preparing the way for Jesus. 3 verse 1, see, I will send my messenger, he will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord will come to his temple. When I was on the mainland for quite a few years, there was a young man, and his name was John Raymond, not breaking any confidences. I don't think he'd mind me mentioning his name. And it must have been about 70 times, probably, when he spoke to me, and he worked for the council. And can you remember those days when they had a sickle, like a hook, and they used to cut the banks and grass before all the power tools? Anybody can remember those days? And he would come to me. I couldn't get a word in Edgeway. See, Andrew, I've got a problem with my job. You know, the foreman says I'm not cutting enough grass on the bank. And it's not that I'm not fast enough. What the problem is, he will not give me the time to sharpen my sickle with like a whetstone, like one of these stones. He just won't let me have the time. And every time I seen John, I couldn't get a word in edgeways. He'd come to me, Andrew, I got this problem. I'm not doing enough work. I'm in trouble with my boss, the foreman, because I'm not cutting enough grass on the bank. Whether he thought I had authority or I could write a letter or something on his behalf. And I could not get a word in edgeways. I could not say anything to him. He was absolutely obsessed with this. Have you experienced anything like this at all with anybody? It was always the same conversation, going round in circles in a way. And I certainly, after chatting with him, useful in the priory, know how to sharpen a hook with a stone. I've heard it enough times anyway, the importance of it. And sometimes we're like that with God. And it can be a challenge for all of us. And Isaiah, it says, Isaiah 43:24, you weary me with your offences. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And Matthew 11:10, I will send my messenger ahead of you, speaking of John the Baptist. Mark 1:2, who will prepare the way
a prophet of the Most High, who will prepare your way before you.
Luke 7:27. So we move on to the refiner's fire. My second thing I'd like to say this morning. For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. And I worked on the farm and in my early years, and it was rather an old-fashioned farm. And when you go in the countryside, you see these lovely stakes. But this farmer insisted, with the wooden stakes, I had to cut the bark about halfway, and he had this contraption, like a great big barrel, and it was filled with creosote on sort of like some brick steps. And I'd have to light a fire underneath it, and so the creosote would get really hot, bubbling hot, and then you could put the stakes. I mean, this is probably a lot of the days before health and safety had really come in. You put the great big stakes in, and the older farmer worker said, I'm not going to do that job. No way I'm going to do that job. It's not safe. And I was a typical young man in my 20s. Oh, no problem. I'll do it. Did it a few times. And this was basically to purify the stakes, you know, to make them strong. And this is what God is doing with us in the refining fire. There's a refining fire and there's a consuming fire. And you can guess what happened one day, can you? It blew up and that. But I'm alive to tell the tale. Anyway, it just, you know, the creosote, and it was a great big fire. And I've always been fascinated by fire. I was a scout leader for 15 years. I did some forestry work, lighting fires and flames. And I would say probably my favourite, some people might find it hard to believe, but my favourite job in the priory is lighting the wood-burning stoves, to see those flames roaring. And, you know, sometimes those flames are so strong, you can feel, because they're quite large wood-burning stoves, you can almost feel like a suction. And and sometimes if I get them going somewhere, there's almost like a white kind of flame. And, you know, the flames remind me of two things. Can you guess what those two things are concerning the things of God? Holy Spirit, yes. And the fire of judgment, the flames of hell as well. Two things. I have that constant reminder. And, you know, Julie would tell you, coming to the priory, we do meet a lot of interesting people in the priory. I think it's one of the joys of, and I do encourage you to come to prayer if you get a chance. Do ask to come and speak to me at reception. Like, there was this man who did mining. He had a lovely job for about 20 years, tin mining in Cornwall. And he said he had the opportunity to go gold mining. And I said, God, you're blessed, you know, to go to South Africa. And this is, I'm using this, you say, how does all this fit in this morning? It's like us. And when he went to the mine in South Africa, the gold mine, the great big sort of quarry, how they're doing the gold there, he said, no way. When he had to have a gun, a pistol, like in his belt for safety, he quickly came back to safe England. Now, in the process of gold, it's taken from the ground. One the rocks are broken, and then it's put to be melted down to get a fine nugget of gold. It doesn't happen in 5 minutes. It's smelted in a pot, the liquid gold, and heated up to get all the impurities out, so it's just pure gold. And that's a little bit like us, what God does with us. He gets us through the trials, the trial of your faith, that God refines us. God knocks off all those parts of us. God wants us to be conformed in his image, to be like him. He will purify the Levites. And in a way, we're like the Levites, like the priesthood of all believers. In Peter it says, you are a royal priesthood. And in verse 5, it says, so I will come near to you for judgment. I'll be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens. I expect a lot of us think of sin in various categories, and we would certainly be speaking against witchcraft and adultery, perjury. But here it says, the heart of God, not to defraud the laborers or their wages, not to oppress widows and the fatherless. And it's got here, and deprive aliens of justice. And you could put in there people that come to the country, refugees, migrants. And not that we want to get into a debate about migration, but it's the heart of God for all people, where they're coming. And if we do not respect and love our neighbour, which is everybody, as ourself, it says, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. And now I'm coming on to my third point. If we flick over to Malachi chapter 4, surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire. The day of the Lord, not a root or a branch will be left to them. But this is my third point. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on that day, on the day of the Lord. And so for the day of the Lord, if we're in Jesus, if we're in Christ, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. Remember the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, the foolish virgins who had no oil in their lamps. And that day is going to come suddenly, the day of the Lord. And there's a consuming fire where things are consumed, and a refining fire. You know, verse 5 says, I do not fear God. God's people are refined from sin. And justice is being consumed for our sin. You know, we had Holy Communion this morning. Jesus took the consuming fire that we might have the refining fire. Jesus makes us pure gold, pure silver. We are saved by faith, by grace. God wants us to be holy. And, you know, sometimes when God is working in our lives, a refining fire, just taking away that old nature. And sometimes it's not a pleasant thing. And it's not like a fire with fire. You could have a match, set a whole forest alight. A refining fire is never punishment. God is refining us. And the Son of Righteousness, two groups. And the coming day of the Lord is like a metaphor. The coming day of the Lord calls for repentance and hope. And I tend to think of it like this. The sun rising, the dawn, a new heaven and an earth. The day of the Lord, the Son of Righteousness. And did you know, if I got it right, scientifically, the sun is 27, this is what the scientists say, 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. And, you know, on that day, there's going to be such a light, such a brightness. And in that day, you know, who can stand on that day? And I worked on the farm, and what I like about this verse, got the privilege of preaching on it this morning. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. And the calves on the farm were kept in the stall, kept inside. And suddenly, they can be released to go out on the grass. And we could be skipping. We could be dancing. We can be looking forward to heaven, the day of the Lord, when we're going to be with Jesus. And these people, in the first point, what I said, you have wearied the Lord with your words. They had lost hope. You know, it's just amazing. And I feel really the word for God's people today is to have hope for the coming day of the Lord. We can look forward to that new heaven and that earth. Now, if you read in Matthew 7, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And there's healing in the wings. And you say, how do you describe this verse? And if you turn to your Bibles, if you turn to your Bibles, if you turn to Psalm 139, verse 9, and I'll read it to you. Psalm 139, verse 9. And this is like the rays. Never seen it like this before. This is like the rays of the sun just piercing through. Piercing through. Sometimes you can see it in a wood when you're going through a walk, and it's really, truly amazing. Psalm 139, verse 9. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, that we're going to have a day like heaven coming. And how can I describe this, about this light? We've had some pretty rainy, dull days. When I lived on the mainland, often in the summer I'd go to a place called Portland Bill. I expect some of you have been there. Have you ever been to Portland Bill? And when you got that great big steep hill, you could see the Chesil Beach. And The sun is just glistening on the sea. It's wonderful. I've been to Gibraltar as well. Have anybody been there on the Rock of Gibraltar? And it's almost the same when you're up that rock, looking down, and the sun really glistening. And in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 9, on the Transfiguration, Mark 9, verse 3, was Jesus on the high mountain where they're all alone with him, Peter, James and John. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Now, as we're looking at this passage this morning, Malachi, and we come to the end of it virtually, and straight afterwards, he says, verse 5, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." And the Jewish rabbis, they try to change that around somehow so that doesn't come last. But immediately after this last verse in the Old Testament, we come on to Matthew, we come on to Jesus, we come on to the Gospels, and I am going to finish now. And because we believe in the cross of Jesus, and this is what it says in Matthew's chapter 27, and this is the contrast when Jesus was on the cross from all the light, the Son of Righteousness, Matthew 27:45. "From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He is calling Elijah.' Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.' And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." And at that moment, you know, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. We worship this morning a living God. We serve a living Saviour. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for your precious word. We just thank you for the challenge to our lives that you love us so much, that you want to make us more like you, to love you more, to put you first in our lives, that you refine us with your fire, that you give us your Holy Spirit. Just help us. Help us to be a royal priesthood. Just help us to be your people, that we may live to please you, that we may live to serve you, that we may live to put you first in our lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.